This morning, I don't know where to even start. Well, we're starting a new series called Reaching Canaan. And we'll get into that. But, you know, I've been praying about the new year and what we're going to get into, what things are happening, what the direction of the church is to be, what we're to focus on, and I try to get that early on in the year. I say early on, normally by August, right? That's normally when I start telling y'all what the new year is going to be. I don't know if you noticed that I didn't really start that this year in August, right? Well, would you like to know why? Because I didn't have anything. That's the number one reason why I didn't share it with you. I was actually seeking God on this subject, and I thought, Lord, normally I have everything by now. I already have the direction, the flavor of the whole year, what it's going to have in the sermons, what direction we're going to focus on. And I'm like, I don't really have something to that degree at this point. So, don't have to have it, would like to have it, but I just would begin to spend time with the Lord and just in praying and praying about our new year, about the church's new year, what direction we were to have. And I really believe God gave me one word for the whole year that we're to focus on. I don't know how to put it, but this will flavor everything it is that we do, right? And for this year, I just got the word obedience. This is the year of obedience. This is the year, and then God just began to give me examples of obedient people. Because I'll just tell you this, the first time right when I got this word, it blessed my heart. Because what I think of in obedience is blessing. That's what I think of. And yes, there is always blessing in obedience. Every time, look at your neighbor and say, there's always blessings in obedience. Always, always, always. It never fails. You're obedient, there is blessing. You're obedient, you walk on clearer paths. When there is obedience, but when some of the examples that God began to give to me was examples of people that were obedient and got in trouble. Now, I do not believe this is a year of trouble for us. I actually believe the very opposite. I believe this is the year of walking in Canaan. Oh, Lord. I'm going to say it again. I believe this is the year that we are entering, that we are reaching Canaan. Yes. This is the year that my feet will step in on the land that flows with milk and honey. This is the year. I feel that with everything on the inside of me. But when God began to give me examples, now, not one person that God gave me an example of that just began to light up in my spirit that had obedience, that came into some trouble, didn't have victory in the end. Every one of them. And so God just began to lay on my heart some things that even Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and we'll get into that later, not today, but Meshach, he was just pointing out some beautiful things to me. Probably one of the best teachings on Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego I ever heard of came from Pastor Tim Jorgensen. I mean, it was just out of the park, fabulous. And I'll probably bring some up through the year, and I wish I could take credit for it, but it's all him. God just began to, my spirit just began to connect with some things and ask questions about some things that I never really asked for before, or asked questions about before. Like when Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego were going to be thrown into the fiery furnace, do you know if I held a match on your skin, it would burn you? Yeah. You get that? Just a match. If I held that to your skin, it would burn you. So why in the world did he turn it up 6 times, 7 times? You know, turn that temperature up. And then why did he tie them up? He said he bound them. The king bound them. And there were certain things. And God just began to give me some clarity that we're going to get into later on. But I just want you to know, this is the year of obedience for you. This is the year of walking in the promises for you. This is also a year of 2020 vision for you. Clearer on obedience. Clearer on the things. Where you used to have to ask, is this you, Lord? There's going to be some clarity that you're not even going to have to ask if this is the Lord. You're going to know the moment it hits your spirit, the moment you see direction. There's all of a sudden where there was no direction, you're going to have direction. Amen. Mm. All right, I'm going to stop right there so we can get into today's sermon. But this year really is a year for us of obedience. It is a year of clarity. It is a year of seeing like we've never seen before. walking like we've never walked before, entering into the promises. I really feel this by the Spirit of the Lord right now. Some of you have been obedient to follow the things of the Lord, and you have not seen the outcomes that you have been looking for, but this is a year you will begin to enter into the things that God has for you, and you'll begin to see the blessings that God wants you to walk into and that you desire to walk into. All right, so this morning we're starting a new series called Reaching Canaan, but I've titled this sermon Changing Systems. Changing Systems. And we'll get into it, but the children of Israel, when they left Egypt, which was slavery for them, when they left Egypt, now everyone that is there, I mean, how many years were they in slavery for? Come on, my little Bible students. 400 years. 400 years they were in slavery. 400 years. So there's not one person that is alive that is in the children of Israel that was not conditioned to be a slave. Mentality, mindset, everything they were slaves. Ooh. Everything that they did was a product of being slaves. They made bricks. They did all this stuff. They lived in shacks. They lived outside the city. They lived in such a manner that everything they did told them they were a slave. Every decision they made was based on the fact that they were a slave. It so influenced them that there was nothing they did outside of being a slave. There was this, I can't even remember what it was or where it came from, but something I don't even know, maybe it was a meme, maybe it was a short film, I have no idea. But there were these people that was a slave, and he says, you know, I hate this. The hours are bad, the pay is terrible, all this. And then the guy says, well, that's what slavery is. But when you're born in it, it's the only thing you know. It's the only way you lived. Can I tell you something? When you're born into poverty and you're in it for generation after generation after generation, there is a way of thinking that is poverty. There's a mentality that is poverty. And if we're going to get out of it, we're going to have to change a system that we're so used to being in. The children of Israel going into Canaan, God getting them to a place of blessing, getting them to a place that flows with milk and honey, getting them to an area, they had to change mentalities. And those that didn't change mentalities couldn't enter in. Okay, let's start reading. Deuteronomy. We're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 2, and then we'll jump to chapter 6, so be ready for that. But Deuteronomy chapter 2, it says in 24, rise ye up, take your journey, and pass over to the river Aaron. Behold, I have given into thine hand Sihon, the Amorites, the king of Heshbon, and his land being to possess it, the contend with him in battle. One thing I want to point out is God told him, this is your possession. Now you're going to have to be in battle with this king. I want you. Let me bring that back out one more time. This land, God promised, this is yours, but you're going to have to be in battle. I'm going to point that out one more time. He said, this is yours. I'm giving you this. This is yours. But you're going to have to constantly be in battle with this king because he believes it's his. All right, let's keep going. This day, where did I stop off at? The end of what? Lost my spot. Oh, the end of 24. Possess it and contend with him in battle. Verse 25, this is the day will I begin to put dread of thee and fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole heaven. Who shall hear the report of thee and shall tremble and be in anguish with thee. Now, I just point this out for your view and for your thought process as well. These people are going to fight with someone they fear. Fight with someone that they believe can overpower and overtake them. They're going to put on a face and still come to battle, even though in their hearts they believe they will lose. they're still going to pretend like they can outnumber you, like they can take you over, like they are going to possess it, to make you feel like it's not yours. When God has already given it to you, and in their heart, they know it is yours. They'll know you're right. They'll know that it is, God has blessed you, but still will put on and hope to whatever they're hoping to, that you won't come in and possess the land. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 10, and it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have thee brought into the land which he swore unto your fathers, Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee the great godly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged that thou diggest not, and vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee out of the land of Egypt for the house of bondage. One of the warnings of the Lord is when you come into the blessings, don't forget who got you there. It's interesting sometimes how we get blessed, how we move up the line, how we get into better jobs, better bonuses, better benefits, that all of a sudden we somehow think it's us who got us here, and we forgot about all the battles. We forgot about all the things God had to bring us through. We forgot about the giants in the land. We forgot about all this and somehow think it's our own doings that got us to this place. We used to count on God every day just to make it. We used to count on God every day to get us through, that this boss didn't like us, or this employee was against us, or somebody was giving us a hard time, or how hard it was to make it. And then once we finally come into the land of Canaan, we're eaten, we're satisfied. Sometimes we look and say, look at what I have built. Look at where I have come from. Look at what I have been able to do with myself. And God warns us, don't get to a place when you are satisfied. Then you got the house, you got the boat, you're going on vacation, you're enjoying everything, that you forget that it was God who got you there the whole time. Never forget who is for you, who is fighting the battles, who is causing you to stand, who is causing the waves to stop crashing at your feet, or at least if they're crashing, you're still standing. What is the foundation that we're connected to? Are we building it upon the sand? Are we building it upon the solid rock? Because once, this is it, once we get there and everything seems hunky-dory for a while, we must always keep our foundation upon Him. It is He who holds us in place. It is Him who keeps us going. It is Him who is going to keep us where we need to be, change us to where we need to be changed to, and get us on the right track and cause nothing that life can throw at us to stop us. Now, let's look. Turn to Joshua 5 and 9. I got a couple scriptures to read this morning. And this morning, a lot of this is going to be a foundation that we're laying down, so that the next sermon, you'll understand where we're coming from. And so you might want to even listen to this again on podcast, just so that you have it on the inside of you. Because we, as a church, as a group of people, we're moving into Canaan. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm going into Canaan. Find another neighbor and say, I want you to come with me. Joshua 5 and 9 says this, and the Lord said unto Joshua, this is the day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off of you. Oh, my dear Lord. They were in Egypt for 400 years. You looked at them, they had an Egyptian accent, they dressed Egyptian, they looked Egyptian, they ate Egyptian. They ate like they ate. They talked like they talked. The mannerisms were the same. You couldn't tell the difference between the children of Israel and the Egyptians. And God says, I am taking off of you the reproach of the Egyptians. Now, that word reproach actually means the shame.
And so there were, it wasn't, if you can imagine, being a slave wasn't the most popular job in the world. There was some shame that came with it. They lived beneath their calling. They lived beneath what God had for them. They lived in a place and in a manner that was not pleasing to the Lord, nor was it pleasing to them. But when they're in that, there were habits that they picked up, things that they picked up, ways that they lived. I got to tell you something, even in the desert, they disobeyed God, and it did not take them long. We say this, you know, if we could just have the same experience that Abraham had, if we could just have the same experience that Jacob had, if we could just have the same experience that David had, if we could just have the same experience, it would hold us forever. I'm going to tell you, experiences will never, ever hold you. It is the Word of God on the inside of you. It is the Spirit of God that will hold you when nothing else will. There, all right, so the children of Israel, what happened? They saw the plagues that came upon Egypt. They saw God show up in fire by day, cloud by day, fire by night. They saw all of these things happen around them, and it did not take them long to get out in the desert, feel like they were lost, and try to build a God. What did they do? They went back to Egypt. They went back to the old ways of thinking. They went back to the days of being slaves. They went back and said, if we do it this way. See, I don't understand. There's something about history that if you don't learn from it, you go back to what feels familiar, and then that generation thinks they can do it better using the same system. I mean, look, communism has failed how many times around the world? And in theory, it sounds like a great idea. Let's just take everything and divide it so everything is equal. In theory, it may sound like a good idea, but it has failed everywhere because men get involved. And when mankind gets involved, somebody's going to set somebody up at the head, eat a little better, do a little better. And they're going to put somebody that needs to do all the work that they don't want to do or none of their family wants to do. Communism has failed everywhere. But yet today, we're hearing the United States rise up and say, this is something we want. And this is the mentality, you know, because they go back to Stalin. They go back to all these people and they say, well, you know, if we can do it better. We can do it better. If we get it, we'll take the old slavery system. We'll take the old gods. We'll take all these old things and we'll make it better. I'm going to tell you something. Without God, you get into a system. See, this is what's happening even in the body of Christ. You cannot take the thought process, the system of Egypt, and try to live on the benefits of Canaan. You can't walk in the benefits of God, but yet work in the system of the world. Not that the system of the world won't be used to bless you. Not that God won't use that to bring in increase in your life. But if you think you're going to do it just like the world did it, then get the godly results that you want, your mentality is wrong. You will not be able to live like the world lives in their system and expect the kingdom of God to operate in your life. Because see, in the world, it's dog eat dog. You're going to have to destroy your competition. Something funny. My daughter wants to make bracelets. I love that she's an entrepreneur. I love that she wants to make money. I like that mentality in my children. I want them to look at things and think of how can we get out of what we're in and do better in life. I want them to always have that mentality. And so she's thinking, if I can just sell bracelets, I can make bracelets, I can sell them at school, I'll raise money, and that'll be a way. And then they always ask me, Daddy, how can I make money? They wanted allowances. You may give allowances. That's fine. I'm not against your system. You work with your system. But with they ask allowance. I'm like, nope, you don't get nothing for doing nothing. Sorry, that's not how it works in this house. You don't get money just because you breathe in this house. And then they started, well, if I clean my room, can I get money? I'm like, no, that's your job to do. You live in this house. You're part of this family. You're going to do that. Now, it doesn't mean I might not see you do a great job, get out there, and I didn't have to ask you. You do better than normal. I might give you something. And then they're like, well, Daddy, can I do this for money? Can I do this for money? I'm like, nope. And they're like, what can I do for money? I'm like, well, you're a smart person. Go think of something. something that would bless his house. Go think of something that you're not doing and you're not required to do. Think of something, and then we'll talk. Okay, we'll do that. And so they done that. And so, but she's right now thinking, how can I make money outside of just my daddy? Which is good, because she needs increase. And so she's thinking, I can make bracelets. So she started making bracelets. She wants to make bracelets to have this financial increase in her life. I had a point, and I just completely lost it, where competition, that's what I wanted to get to. Yeah, you know me. So sad. Oh, it's so good. But we were talking the other day, and she said, she mentioned one of her friends from another grade, and she said, this person makes bracelets too. They're my competition. And she goes, I will destroy them. And I'm here like, okay. We have to have a moment here. And I think the moment she said it, she realized what she said. And she goes, well, I'll still like them. We'll still be friends. But they're my friend. I'm trying to remember exactly what she said. They're my friend in school or something like that. But in business, they are my enemy. And I'm like, whoa. I was like, okay. So I'm here like, I got to rein this in. We got to rein this in, direct it in the right path. And so I told her, I said, look, honey, I said, what you're going to do is you work as working unto the Lord. You're going to make the best bracelets you can possibly make, and I will make sure you have the guidance and direction you need to do the best job you can do. And look, sometimes businesses fail because other businesses do something that's right. And if you don't stay open to change, one day you will fail if you don't keep your focus right. So you're going to keep your focus. You're going to change and do what is needed. And one day you may have direction to make bracelets a little different or to change the business a little bit. And if other people get destroyed in the process, that's because they wasn't listening or they did something wrong. That's not our, that's not what we're after, but it can be a side effect. But you're working as unto the Lord, and you will do a good job, and that's going to be your heart. Still going to be your friend, still going to love them, but do your job and just do it well. You know, there was a speech given, I'm trying to remember if it was last year, by the head of Amazon. And when he was talking to all of his employees, he started his speech out in such an interesting way. He started it out where I've never heard any other business in trying to talk to their employees and give them a pep talk like this of any other company. He said, one day Amazon will fail. That's how he started off his speech to his employees. He said, one day Amazon will fail. He said, my job, he went on to explain that every business has grown huge if they don't change with the times, if they don't see what's going on. And he pointed back to some of his competitors that have closed their doors over the years. And he said, they have failed when at one time they were the largest corporation in the United States. They were doing what we do on a different level. But things changed, and they did not stay on top of the change. And he said, my job as the head of this company is to keep and push that date of failure so far out there that it's way after I am here and gone. He said, but one day Amazon will fail. And the only thing that will keep it going is if we stay on top and change with it. And if we do our job and we do it. And for Christians, I would say this, we will never fail. We keep looking out to what God has promised. But for us to stay in the promise and in the blessings, we must constantly hear the Holy Spirit's direction. We must stay in His direction, and times are going to change, things are going to change, and we are going to change with them. The message stays the same, but the delivery will always change. And God will constantly speak to our heart. And this is a year of obedience for us, that as we obey the Lord, we'll walk into Canaan, we'll speak to the right people, we'll make the right connections, and God will be with us, and we will be with Him. And I want to go back to this scripture, that obedience is greater than sacrifice. And this year is a year of obedience, and this is a year that we will please the Lord. Lord with our obedience, that we will look in the face of what is coming, the future, whether it's known or unknown, and God will say something. And yes, we may be able to connect the dots and say, this is the direction God is going to bless us, and we obey. But then there will be times that God will speak to us, and we'll look and say, we have no understanding of how God is going to use this to bless us, but yet we will still obey. And once we obey, we'll continue to walk in the blessings of the Lord. We'll enter into Canaan. You will see the land that flows with milk and honey. Even if we look at the land and say, like the children of Israel did, there are giants in the land. All right. Now, what does Canaan represent? It is the land that flows with milk and honey, but it represents a type of heaven on earth. It represents God's way of doing things. It represents His best. In Matthew 6 and 10 says, "The kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Do you know, how many of you can you ride bikes? How many of you ride bikes or can ride bikes? All right, most of you were taught. All right, good. All right, my daughters both can ride a bike. And some of them, I think I had less bruises with the second one because I figured out how to fine tune it than with the first one. Don't act like you haven't figured out things to change with your second child that you did with your first one. Okay, so they started off in these like tricycle deals, and some of the tricycles today have handles on the back with a stick that you can push them, and so they started off with something like that, and then they graduated to one with training wheels on it, and then Ellie now has one that has different speeds on it. You can change the gears, right? Not a 10 speed, but she, you know, she's not that big yet, and she can go faster. Now, one of the problems was when Lucy came along and started learning how to ride, in the tricycle, she wanted to go as fast as her sister did. A tricycle is not built to go as fast as one that changes speeds, right? And so now Lucy has the training wheels off and she's able to go faster, but she still is not able to go as fast as her sister. But she wants to. And then there was always this whole, I'm going to race you kind of thing, but then crying when she can't keep up. And so her sister would be way behind her, and she's like, I'm going to beat you. And then she just takes off, and you can paddle 100 miles an hour with your little legs on a tricycle and never go as fast as somebody on a 10 speed with hardly any effort. Would you like to know why? The system is changing. And so what worked in Egypt is not going to work in Canaan. There are some things that we did in Egypt that we can't even do in Canaan. And like the scripture talked about, Joshua, I bring you from reproach. I bring the shame and all this off of you. There are things that maybe we're shameful of, reproach has happened to us, decisions that we've made in the past that we haven't been happy with. Maybe it's been our fault. Maybe it's things that have happened to us. But it tells us that God took the reproach off of them. There are some things we have dealt with all our life, and we haven't been able to get rid of it. The good news is today is that you're not going to have to deal and get that shame. You're not going to have to get rid of some of this stuff that's been on you, what seems like years and years and years, or maybe it's something recent. You're not going to have to get it off of you. God said, this day I will remove the reproach. Look at your neighbor and say, this day. This is the day that we remove the reproach off of our lives. Now, something else. When the children of God were in Egypt, they were eating crackling. Y'all don't even know what crackling is. Okay, maybe you know about this. Rinds. What is that? Pork rinds. Yes, pork rinds. Y'all eat pork rinds? Okay, one person in this whole place. All right. Pork rinds. And so they ate pork rinds, pig feet. They ate pork chops. bacon. Let's all have a moment. This is how they ate in Egypt. But once they got out in the desert, God changed the way they ate. Oh. And I'm not knocking your pork chops or your chitlins or anything else you eat. But what I'm saying is you're not going to be able to eat the same thing and get into Canaan. Well, let me make it a little plainer for you. Men shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You're going to have to feed on higher things to live on a higher level. And you're not going to be able to just speak whatever comes to your mind. You're not going to be able to speak what mama said. You're not going to be able to speak what dad said. You're not going to be able to speak what you heard on television. Can I tell you something? I think it was yesterday or the day before, I can't even remember, Lucy said a word that I know was not godly. And I just stopped for a moment and said, "What did you say?" And then she said, "Oh, I remember what it was." And then she said it again. I'm like, where do you hear that word?" And she goes, "I think TV." I'm like, "Okay, we're going to have to watch what we're watching." I'm like, "That is not a good word. We don't use that word." I said, "Our family, we don't speak like that." And she goes, "Oh, okay." And then she moved right on. And so there are some things that we've said all our lives. There's some things that we've thought about ourselves. There's some shame and some mentalities, maybe some ways of living that we had an operation that has been in our family from generation to generation. But we're not going to be able to take that into Canaan. We're going to have to eat different. We're going to have to consume God's word on a different level. And we're going to have to begin to speak what he says about us. Some of you, all your life, you were told how you couldn't make it and how you were going to be condemned, or how you didn't measure up to your other sibling, or maybe you didn't measure up to the other students in your class. And it's always been apparent that you did not live up to it. Well, let me tell you something. God is able to change the impossible. God is able to change things that you could never change on your own. One thing that we were talking about this morning, Jesse brought out there in praise and worship, is about wisdom. God says if we ask for wisdom, he will give it to us. So not only do we have to, you know, eat and feed on something different, we're also going to have to take it by faith. We're also going to have to believe it because it's what the Word of God says. And then we're going to have to start living like what we have said that we can't even touch. Faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. There are some things God says about you that you can't see it yet. And you're going to have to believe that this is what it is. Because let me tell you, who is correct? What you believe or what God says? So if what God said goes against what you believe, we need to begin to change what it is we believe. And so there are some things that we have just come accustomed to and accepted to be true that God does not agree with. I always make stupid decisions. I always fail. I always have this product or this results in my life. Well, that day is taken off of you. That way is being relieved from you now. I'm always clumsy. I always break things. I always say the stupid stuff. I always forget. Well, that always is changing now. The reproach of Egypt, the labels that the world has put on you all your life, God is able to take them away in a day. Ooh. Oh, y'all are making me want to preach even harder than I am right now. Mark 11, verse 24. We're going to move to another system, a higher system. If you are operating in a higher things, then you're going to have to operate in higher systems. The same old systems won't work anymore. A store that maybe just a mom and pop that may see 50 people a day at the most and on their very good days don't operate like a superstore. They have to operate in things different. Yeah, you know, Pop, he runs the back. He's the accountant. He's all these things. Little Joey, he stocks the shelf. And Mom, she's at the cash register. She's doing all this. She's dusting and cleaning. The person that's managing the whole place at a superstore, they don't run the cash register. They operate at a different level. And so these people are going to have to learn, if they're going to operate in higher things, they're one, going to have to be willing to change, and two, they're going to have to use different systems. They can't operate in Egypt and live in Canaan. Oh, let me say this too. Being from the south and on a coastal place where people come for vacation on all the time. Now, I will say that my area is a very redneck, backwoods, Bubba kind of mentality, but people all the time will come in and then tell us, do you know where I'm from in Atlanta? Where I'm from in Houston? Where I'm from, this is the way we do it. And we hear it all the time. You know the mentality of the people that live there? Well, then go back to Atlanta if you like it there so much. I don't see you vacationing in your own city. I see you coming here enjoying the way we do things. And so a lot of times people want to take where they come from that they didn't like in the first place, the city that they complained about, the high taxes, and all this that they have dealt with all their life, move to a place with low taxes. No, can I tell you? Okay, something about this. I don't know if you've noticed this, but Wisconsin has income tax. Anyone notice that? All of you notice. Do you know Florida doesn't? Do you know when I first moved here and I got my first paycheck and I looked at the stub? I mean, like, what is Wisconsin doing touching my money? Because I just thought every state was like Florida. I never got paid in another state before. And I looked and be like, what is Wisconsin doing to my money? And they didn't even take a little. They took a lot. What's their problem? And I found out they have a lot of nice parks and bike trails and all this stuff. And they take my tax money and they keep that going. But then people from Wisconsin will move to Florida and say, we have a lot more parks than you do. Oh, and we do it this way, and we do it that way. And all of a sudden, they're campaigning for the same junk they left from that they don't even like themselves. And they're trying to change a place to fit like where they come from. We are not going to go to Canaan and then complain that it doesn't operate like Egypt. Be like, you know, in Egypt, I could say whatever I wanted. If I wanted to call my kids stupid and slap them in the back of the head, I would say cuff them. In the back of, oh, y'all, I've seen that here. First time I ever saw a parent pop the back of their head. I'm like, ooh, you'd go to jail for that. I'm like, don't you hit your children in public? You do that at home? No, I'm just kidding. And so I saw this in the kingdom, when you get into different operations, if you want your kids operating in a way that's different than Egypt, you can't treat them like the Egyptian children. And so in all of this, we can't have some of the old systems in operation in paradise. We'll try to reach back into Egypt because maybe it worked for the Egyptians, or maybe it was easier for us. And then we try to apply that in the new place in Canaan. Old operations don't work in new places. And you're not going to want what you're getting staying with the same systems that Egypt operated in. Look at your neighbor and say, I am changing. You are changing. Now, Mark 11:24 says, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever ye desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Let me read it in the Amplified. For this reason I'm telling you, whatsoever things you ask for in prayer, in accordance with God's word, with his will, believing with confident trust that you shall receive them, and they will be given unto you. Higher level is going to work for us. We can't talk like we used to talk in Egypt. We can't talk about our kids like the Egyptians talk about theirs. We can't talk about our workplace, about our spouse, the same way the Egyptians talked about theirs. Now, I do want to read this, the Amplified in verse 25. Because talking about getting rid of some stuff, we're going to have to drop some stuff. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them. Drop the issue. Let it go. So that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions and wrongdoing against him and others. Mm. If we're going to get to a place of receiving, we're going to have forgiveness in our heart. We're going to have to walk in forgiveness. I remember when I was in Israel, I was talking to a Jewish lady, and she knew I was a Christian. We were conversing back and forth, and she said, I want to ask you a question. I said, yes. She said, as a Christian, you're commanded to forgive? And I go, oh, yes, that's right. I have to live in forgiveness. She goes, no. She said, that's too hard. She said, that's really hard. I would rather live by the 613 laws. And see, I'm so dumb. I'm here. I see the 613 laws, and I'm like, whoa, no way. No way could I keep all these laws. That's too hard. But I'm going to tell you something. Somebody that lives in the system, they're used to the system. They're used to the things, the way it works, and they'll look at an easier system, forgive. And they're like, nope, that requires too much of me. That requires too much of me. They're so blinded to even see that forgiveness is a better path that they won't even dare venture. They, in their own mind, that's too hard. I can live by the works. I can live by what I can do. But forgive, which takes supernatural power from God to walk in forgiveness, no way. So there are some things that you're going to have to let go of. There are some things you're going to have to operate in to pray the will of God and receive it. It's a new system. We can't work like Egypt. We can't work the old ways. We can't live like the world lives. We must die to ourself and walk and operate in the things of God. All right. So some of y'all are going to have to take it by faith. Let me just say this. Some people in this place right now, in our church, are in debt. And this year is the year that they get out of it. I want to say that one more time. Some people in our church are in debt. And this is the year, 2020, that you walk out of it. Some people can't even imagine what it is to live outside of debt. They just know everybody lives with debt. That's how you get a car. You go into debt. That's how you get a home. You go into debt. That's how you get anything. You go into debt. And that's in this generation, it's very, that's the way you live. My grandfather, I remember talking with him, and he said, son, do you know what we used to do when we spent all our money that we had available for our budget? I said, what, granddaddy? And I'm thinking, this is where my mind went. Are you ready? Use the credit card. That's where my mind went. And I mean, he talked to me very softly, like, do you know what we did when our budget and we didn't have any more money in the budget for anything? Do you know what we did? And I'm like, what? And I believe I already know the answer. Then he got really loud. You'll just have to know my granddaddy, and yelled at me. He said, we quit spending money because we didn't have it. And then he was also, you know, very... His stories were fantastic. If you ever listen to his stories, they were always great. He said, credit cards came out. We didn't even know what they were. And he said, but only few people had them. And they had to call the president to make sure he even had the money. Then they had this humongous machine. They'd put it down. They'd put paper. And they'd wreck, wreck. And they had to call somebody to make sure he even had the money to do it. But we quit spending money. He goes, I know that's a new idea for you, but stop spending so much money. He just would get in my face, and he was hilarious, and I laughed the whole time. He's like, you think this is funny? You think this is funny? I'm like, yes, I do. He's like, stop spending so much money! I thought it was hilarious. Some of you would cry if your granddaddy screamed at you. I laughed because he was a funny man. But he lived in a different system than we live in, which is why when he went home to be with Jesus, he had no debt, and he left everything to my grandmother. And when my grandmother went home to be with Jesus, that she had no debt, and she was able to leave her kids and her grandkids an inheritance, which says by God that that is a good thing for families to do. because she lived and my grandfather lived in a different system. They did not sacrifice their current present position. They did not sacrifice their future to be more comfortable now. Oh, Lord Jesus. And so some of you, to hear that you're going to be debt-free in a year is so extraordinary. No one you know operates that way. No one you know lives that way. And all of a sudden, you're hearing a word from God that you want to be debt-free. You want to live in God's kingdom. How is it even possible? You're going to have to take it by faith and say, this is the year. This is the year that God rolls off my reproach. You didn't even know that it was shameful. You didn't even know there was reproach when you were in debt. Because God says you are slave to the lender. Those who take it are slave to those who give it. And if you don't believe that, miss 4 or 5 car payments and let's see who owns the car. Until you get the deed in your hand, that ain't yours. You're leasing it. All right. So this is a year we're going to have to take it by faith. Let me tell you something else that you're going to have to take by faith this morning. This is going to be the healthiest year you've ever had. I believe it. This is the year cancer dies. It dies with you. It doesn't run in your family. It's not going to be your children's. It's not going to be your children's children. Your grandkids won't even know the word cancer. Why? Because it dies with you and it dies this year. You're going to be cancer free. You're going to be free of sickness and disease. You're going to be the healthiest you have ever been. Oh, your knees work better than they've ever been. Your back works better than it's ever worked. All your muscles and your joints work better than they have ever worked. Why? Because you're not eating the same old, same old. You're not living by just bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And it says, by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. It says, all sickness and disease is under the curse of the law, according to Deuteronomy 28. But according to Galatians 3:13, you are redeemed from the curse of the law because Jesus was made a curse for you. This is the year that you walk out of this place healthy, wealthy, and wise all the days of your life. This is the year of wisdom. Well, I've always made stupid decisions. I've always just walked in whatever. I made decisions that later, you know, I had somebody tell me this. They said, I feel like a child because I make stupid decisions and I know they're stupid when I make them. And I know they benefit me now and I'm going to pay for them later. I feel so dumb. I can't get out of this habit. And my family's always lived this way. Well, this is the year we ask for wisdom. And we believe that the word of God is true. That when we ask, God is faithful to give it to us. This is a year we live in wisdom. This is a year we live healthy. And this is a year we live wealthy. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm healthy, wealthy, and wise. All the days of my life. Oh my goodness. Because we are switching systems this morning. Living in Canaan is the ultimate system. That we can produce what we need every day. Romans 10:14 says, how shall they call in him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? Numbers 13:10. Some of you are not living in this because you've never heard it. There are people in this world that are not living in it because they have never seen it. They've never heard it. They don't know anything about it. This is the year the church rises up and we do what we're called to do. Preachers are going to preach. People, believers are going to believe. The world is going to see, and they will know that these are the things of the Lord. Numbers 13 and 30 says, Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome. But the men that went up with him, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. One had good report and the rest had a bad report. Now the battle is not yours. See, God already promised it to him. He already told him, the people in the land will fear you. I'm going to put in the hearts of the king, the hearts of the people, to fear you, because they will know you are well able to take the land. The only people that did not know that they were well able were the ones that were promised that they could do it. All the land feared Israel. A bunch of people living out of tents, people living in the wilderness. All the nations feared them and knew that if they went up against them, they would lose. The only people that were convinced that Israel couldn't win was Israel. God already told them they could have it. God said, I will strike fear in the hearts of your enemy. And the only people who backed down were the people who were promised by God they could have it. Oh. We live in a day the children of Israel never had, where the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us, and we understand that we have had redemption, that we are redeemed in our relationship with each other, and God has been restored. The world is going to tell you all the labels that they put on you, all the labels they put on your kids, all the labels that they put on your family, your background, your race, your gender. There's going to be a lot of labels the world will put on you. And as a people of God, we reject their labels. Any report that says we cannot overcome, that says we cannot do what God has called us to do, we reject them, we push them to the side, and we acknowledge the righteousness of God. I'm ending now-ish. No, I'm for real. And y'all know my testimony is one I've told 150 million times. Being told as a kid that I would never be able to read, that I had dyslexia so bad that it would stay with me the rest of my life, that I would never be able to comprehend what other kids could comprehend. I'd never be able to read a book as fast as my friends would read a book. And that when they diagnosed me with that, it was all 100% true. They said that I would never graduate high school. The smartest I was at the time would be the smartest I would ever be in my life. And this was in fourth grade. My parents were told that somebody would have to watch me all the days of my life. I wouldn't be able to read to know if something was poison or if, you know, the difference between rat poison and sugar. And that was very true at the time that they said it. But my mother was not going to accept that diagnosis. And she prayed for me. She stood with me. And I'm going to tell you, I wish I could tell you that it changed overnight in my life, but it did not. It took time, and all of a sudden, I was able to do what they said I could not do. And I even remember coming home with a bad grade in spelling, and my mom said, what is this? What is this? And I said, Mom, you know why. You know why. And she says, no, I do not. You tell me why. Why did you get a bad grade? And I said, because I'm stupid. That should have been an alert. That woman, this little sweet woman that you know and have met, got in my face, began to talk to me so loud, spit was flying out of her mouth, hitting me right in the face, and she didn't care. And she said, let me tell you something, young man. You ever talk like that in my house again, you won't be able to sit down. You understand me? And that's a churched up version. She came unglued on me. She said, I will never have you talk like that again. Do you understand me? She understood something. That I was never going to be able to enter into Canaan talking like I was an Egyptian. I was able to graduate high school 2 years early. Put 4 years of college into one. Or 4 years of college into two in half the time. and then go to another college university, take extra courses, read books, enjoy reading, when they told me it was never possible for me. Why is that? Because the world, Egypt does not understand how Canaan functions. They don't understand righteousness. They don't understand of standing in the place of God. They do not understand that God is more than enough to overcome every mountain, to overcome every army, to overcome everything that stands against you and your covenant. With God, if He has said it, it is possible. And you being obedient to the things of God will walk into Canaan and it will be yours. You'll look at the giants, you'll look at the mountains, and you will tell them, "This is my land. This is where I prosper. This belongs to me by the hand of God. All the blessings of the Lord are in Him, yes, and in Him, amen. This is my day. Nothing will stop or hindering me from going in to the things of God." This is the day that you speak to dyslexia. This is the day that you speak to cancer. This is the day that you speak to anxiety. This is the day that you speak to shame and all the reproach that has ever tried to come in your life. And you tell dyslexia, "You will not stop me from entering into the things of God. Cancer, I will live and not die and proclaim the works of the Lord. His blessings are in Him, yes, and His blessings are in Him, amen. There is nothing that shall stop me." Whew. "If man be against me," if anything be against me, will it stop me? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. May not happen exactly like I thought it would, but it will come. My college was paid for 100% because I had a diagnosis from the world that said dyslexia, that I would never make it. And the state of Florida said, "Hey, you go to college, we'll pay for it." I said, "I'll go." And they paid for it. The very thing the devil tried to destroy me with, God turned it around and caused it to pave the way. God didn't send it. But every time the devil tries to curse you and you're obedient to the things of God, all the spiritual world takes notice. Every devil in hell stops and says, "What is he about to say? What is she about to say? What are they about to say?" And when you speak it, every angel in heaven says, "Boys, it's time to fight." They're standing. They're praying. They're believing. They're walking in obedience. There's not one weapon formed against them shall prosper. Now remember in the beginning, he said, "This is your land. You're going to have to contend with the king." So there is a fight to faith. Doesn't mean you just walk in and everything goes your way. There's a way that you speak and you're expecting God to perform the word that he said he would do. Right now, right where we are, let's ask the Holy Spirit what he is trying to speak to our heart. What he is trying to direct us for this year. Let's just ask that question right where you are right now. I believe many of you have gotten an answer, but I believe God's going to continue to speak to you. I just really heard this in my spirit. There's some of you, God spoke to you very clearly right now. But in a month or two, he's going to speak something else. And you're going to think, "Well, I thought this was what I was supposed to do. I thought this was what I was supposed to focus on." It was for that time, but it's going to change. And as you're going to continue to hear from the Lord, there's going to be continuing times of obedience and steps that you're going to make that will lead you to the path that you need to be on. So just continue to say yes. Continue to hear, continue to obey. Don't doubt whether or not that was God. Well, did I not hear? Would I not have heard all of it from the beginning? No, God has given you a piece and he'll give you another one. Continue to walk. Continue to walk out your life. Continue to walk out the plan that he has for you. When you hear, be quick. Be quick and obedient to the things that God has for you. Your obedience will be the key to you walking into Canaan. So, Father, we thank you right now.